This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
So, imagine a traditional Korean feast for a second.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
You're probably picturing like bubbling, fiery red stews, right? Or a tabletop grill completely covered in sizzling slices of pork belly.
Oh, totally. An entire mosaic of fermented side dishes, intense heat, the works.
Exactly. You kind of brace yourself for a marathon of kitchen prep, a scavenger hunt for specialty chili pastes, and flavors that literally make you sweat.
Right. It's an event.
But, well, what if the data tells a completely different story? What if one of the most beloved, authentic staples of Korean cuisine completely bypasses the meat counter, skips the intense spice altogether, and serves up a freezing, cold, hyper-refreshing bowl in just about 25 minutes?
I mean, it completely disrupts the narrative we usually construct around authentic international cooking, you know?
It really does.
We tend to associate the word authentic with arduous. We just assume that to capture the real essence of a foreign cuisine, you have to suffer through this incredibly complex weekend project.
Right. But the culinary profile we are analyzing today strips away all of that intimidation. So welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Our mission today is to unpack a very specific culinary roadmap of a Korean staple, tailored specifically for you, the curious home cook outside of Korea. We are looking at a dish called Naengmyeon.
Yeah, and our sources today aren't pulled from some dense historical tome listing 100 regional variations.
Fully.
Right. We are working from a highly specific, stripped-down data profile that gives you the raw metrics of the dish. Things like difficulty, time, flavor, and ingredient categories.
It's essentially designed to be a quick-glance template for the international kitchen.
Which is an incredibly pragmatic way to approach a new cuisine. Mm. I mean, when you are standing in your kitchen on a Wednesday evening, you don't necessarily need the complete anthropological history of a dish.
No, you really don't. You just want dinner.
Exactly. You need to know the parameters. You need the structural non-negotiables. And this profile isolates exactly what makes this dish work without getting bogged down in all those intimidating extras.
So diving right in, the name itself gives away the game. Naengmyeon literally translates to cold noodles.
Very literal.
Yeah, the source pack even notes the Spanish translation, Fideos Fríos Coreanos, just to hammer home that this isn't a metaphorical title, it is a literal instruction.
You are eating cold noodles.
Right. But looking at the metrics provided, the flavor profile is explicitly categorized as mild. And I have to push back on this right away.
Okay, what's your concern?
Well, if I'm skipping the complex marinades, dropping the temperature to freezing and aiming for a mild flavor, isn't there a very real risk that this just tastes like a bowl of bland, wet starch?
That's a fair point.
Like, what is actually carrying the dish if we strip all the expected Korean heat away?
It's a totally valid skepticism, honestly.
Yeah.
Western palates are heavily conditioned to associate temperature with comfort. Think of it like a steaming bowl of chicken noodle soup.
Oh, for sure.
And cold dishes are often relegated to salads or side dishes. But in this context, temperature is actually functioning as an active ingredient.
An active ingredient.
Yeah. The mildness you are questioning is not an absence of flavor. It's actually an acoustic treatment for your palate.
An acoustic treatment? Wait, how so?
Think of it like noise-canceling headphones.
Okay.
By stripping out the loud, fiery, chili elements and removing the heavy, mouth-coating animal fats, you create this sensory vacuum.
Ah, I see where you're going with this.
Right. In that vacuum, the incredibly subtle, earthy flavors of the noodles themselves, which are often made from buckwheat or sweet potato starch, are finally allowed to take center stage.
Wow. So you aren't blasting your taste buds with heat.
Exactly. You are inviting them to detect nuances that would otherwise be completely overpowered.
So by dropping the volume on the spice, you actually increase the resolution of the remaining ingredients.
Precisely. And that ties directly back to the physical reality of the cold temperature.
How does the cold change things structurally?
Well, when you shock a starch matrix with icy water or a chilled broth, the gelatinized starches seize up. They firm up instantly.
Oh, right.
This drastically alters the tactile experience of eating. You know, a hot noodle is often soft, yielding, comforting.
Mm.
But a cold noodle becomes highly elastic, snappy, and chewy.
That structural change explains so much, actually. If you are eating something with that much inherent chew and elasticity, a heavy, rich, spicy sauce would just make the whole experience exhausting.
Exactly. It would be too much work.
You want a flavor profile that is as refreshing and crisp as the physical snap of the noodle itself.
The tactile experience dictates the flavor requirements. It's really a brilliant piece of culinary engineering.
It really is.
The mild flavor profile ensures that the cold, refreshing texture is the absolute star of the show. It's designed to act as a sensory reset, you know, to cool the body down from the inside out during humid summer months, rather than weighing it down with intense heat and heavy fats.
So, if the overarching philosophy of the dish is to be a quick cooling reset, it makes total sense that this philosophy extends directly into the kitchen prep.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the minimal flavor profile is perfectly mirrored by a minimal time investment. The preparation stats in our profile list this as an easy difficulty level with a cooking time of just 25 minutes.
And that 25-minute metric is the ultimate proof of concept for the home cook.
It really is a game changer.
It moves the dish out of the special occasion category and drops it firmly into the viable weeknight dinner category.
But here is the most jarring data point in the entire source pack for me.
Hit me.
If you are aiming for this 25-minute timeline, the ingredient roadmap provided explicitly contains no beef, no pork, no chicken, and no seafood.
None at all.
It completely bypasses the meat counter. Now, I know that if you go to a traditional Korean restaurant, naengmyeon is very frequently served submerged in a chilled beef broth, often garnished with thin slices of braised brisket.
Yes, that's very common.
So are we looking at a watered-down, westernized cheat sheet here that just sacrifices authenticity for the sake of speed?
I get why you'd ask that. It is so tempting to look at a stripped-down recipe and assume it's been compromised.
Right, like they're just cutting corners.
But what this specific data set is doing is isolating the actual architecture of the dish. It's separating the foundational elements from the luxury add-ons.
Okay, that makes sense.
The heavy, slow-simmered beef broth is undeniably a popular traditional variation, but it is not the structural requirement.
So you don't absolutely need it to make the dish work.
Exactly. By explicitly omitting the beef, pork, chicken, and seafood, this profile proves that the soul of naengmyeon lives in the snappy noodle and the cold, mild environment, not in the animal protein.
It really redefines where the value of the dish actually lies. I mean, if the authenticity was entirely dependent on a 12-hour simmered brisket broth, then it could never truly be an accessible home-cooked meal for someone living halfway across the world.
Especially without access to specific cuts of meat.
Right.
And that leads to a very common mistake international home cooks make. We often assume that authentic international dishes must be heavily meat-based to be valid.
Yeah, we project a level of culinary rigidity onto other cultures.
We really do. We assume there is only one true way to make something, and it usually involves the most complicated protein-heavy route.
Like, you feel like if you aren't rendering animal fat, you are somehow disrespecting the tradition.
But this profile shatters that illusion. Our source data definitively greenlights vegetarian substitutions. Mm. It explicitly states that substituting in vegetarian elements is a yes.
A definitive yes.
Yeah, which highlights the modularity of the dish. It is a template designed to work with what you have on hand.
Modularity is the perfect word for it, actually. It functions like a culinary blank canvas, but rather than that being just a cliche about creativity, it's a practical reality about grocery shopping.
Exactly. It's about getting dinner on the table.
You do not have to worry about thawing chicken. You don't have to worry about cross-contamination on your cutting board with raw pork. You go straight to your pantry for the noodles. You hit your produce drawer for maybe some cucumber or Asian pear for crunch, and you are immediately ready to cook.
It democratizes the experience of exploring Korean cuisine. By removing the financial and logistical barriers of sourcing specific animal proteins, it invites the home cook to simply focus on the technique.
Boiling the noodles, shocking them in cold water, and balancing that mild, refreshing broth.
That's really all it is.
So, knowing that this dish relies on a modular, globally friendly template, we have to talk about how that translates to the realities of dietary restrictions and allergens.
Right, safety first.
Because if you are kicking this for a crowd, or if you have specific sensitivities, you need to know where the guardrails are. But the source data handles this in a way that might initially seem pretty unhelpful to a cautious cook.
Yeah, the data explicitly lists allergens and specific religious or dietary restrictions as not specified.
Which on the surface feels like a massive cop-out. I mean, if I'm looking at a culinary guide because I want to safely prepare a meal for a friend with a gluten intolerance, not specified doesn't give me the peace of mind I'm looking for.
It seems vague, sure. But you have to view that data point through the lens of what we just discussed about modularity.
Okay, how so?
When a broad culinary roadmap tells you allergens are not specified, it is acknowledging its role as a conceptual template rather than a rigid, factory-sealed product.
Ah, I get it.
It is telling you that the final responsibility rests on the specific, localized ingredients you choose to plug into the equation.
So because the recipe just calls for the category of noodles rather than dictating a proprietary brand, the profile cannot possibly predict what allergens are in your specific pantry.
Exactly. You are the final gatekeeper.
Mm.
Traditional naengmyeon noodles are often made from buckwheat, which is naturally gluten-free.
Right.
However, many commercially available brands blend that buckwheat with wheat flour to improve texture or, you know, just to cut costs.
So that makes total sense.
Because the dish is a global template,
mm-hmm.
it cannot guarantee that the specific brand you pick up at your local supermarket won't have cross-contamination.
So the not specified label isn't a lack of information at all. It's really a delegation of responsibility.
That's a great way to put it.
It basically tells the cook the structure of this dish is fundamentally safe and adaptable, but you must read the labels on the building blocks you buy locally.
And when you step back and look at that structure, the total lack of inherent meat, the definitive approval of vegetarian substitutions, the lightning fast 25-minute prep time, and the mild flavor profile, you realize this is an incredibly globally friendly dish.
It really is.
It doesn't rely on rare, highly specific animal proteins that might be restricted by certain diets or religions. It doesn't rely on a spice tolerance that takes years to build. It's universally accessible.
Which brings me to the broader cultural implications of this data. I'm looking at this entire profile, this quick, mild, meatless, highly adaptable bowl of cold noodles, and I'm asking myself, what is a home cook outside of Korea actually supposed to learn from this?
That's the big question.
Because it stands in such stark contrast to the way Korean food is usually marketed to the rest of the world.
That is the most crucial takeaway from this entire analysis, actually. We have to separate the sociology of exported, marketed food from the domestic reality of everyday home cooking.
We export the fireworks, not the living room.
Yes, that is exactly what happens.
Mm.
Korean BBQ is a phenomenal festive spectacle.
Mm.
It is highly social, incredibly flavorful, and visually striking.
And delicious.
Oh, incredibly delicious. And because of that, it exports beautifully, becomes the face of the cuisine in international media and restaurant scenes.
Right, but there's a downside to that.
There is. When a culture's food is represented almost exclusively by its festive highlights, it creates a deeply skewed perception of what it actually means to eat that food on a daily basis.
It sets an unreasonable, intimidating standard. Like, if your only exposure to a cuisine is the holiday feast, you assume every single foray into that cuisine requires 3 hours, a specialty grill, and an exhausting grocery run.
Which builds a psychological wall around the cuisine.
Yeah.
You just write it off as a weekend project.
Totally.
The cultural lesson embedded in the naengmyeon and data is that authentic Korean home cooking is incredibly diverse and deeply practical. It understands convenience just as well as any other culinary tradition.
It proves that a culture renowned for intense spice and elaborate meat dishes also values the absolute opposite. A mild, cooling, meatless reset that you can just throw together on a tired Wednesday evening.
It reveals a culinary tradition that trusts the home cook. By providing a flexible, modular framework that welcomes vegetarian substitutions and local variations, it invites you to participate in the cuisine rather than just rigidly attempting to replicate a restaurant dish.
It brings the reality of everyday Korean life into your kitchen.
Exactly.
That is such an empowering perspective for anyone who loves international food but feels overwhelmed by the perceived barriers to entry. You know, you don't need a pantry full of rare fermented pastes or hours of free time to capture the authentic spirit of a dish.
No, not as...
Sometimes you just need 25 minutes, an open mind, and a willingness to let the temperature do the heavy lifting.
Beautifully said.
So let's synthesize all of this and recap the key takeaways for you listening at home, looking to expand your weeknight repertoire. Today, we unpacked the culinary profile of naengmyeon, a traditional Korean cold noodle dish designed to be easily recreated in your own kitchen.
Yep, the quick glance template.
First, we explored the physics of the dish. It operates on a mild flavor profile, not because it lacks taste, but because it uses the cold temperature to maximize the snappy, elastic chew of the noodles. The
acoustic treatment.
Right. The mildness acts as a sensory reset, stripping away the heavy spice and fat to let you actually taste the subtle, earthy notes of the starches.
Which is such a unique experience.
Second, we looked at the kitchen reality. This is categorized as an easy 25-minute endeavor that completely skips the meat counter.
And saves you money.
Exactly. The specific profile we analyzed greenlights vegetarian substitutions and leaves out beef, pork, chicken, and seafood, proving that the authenticity of the dish relies on its refreshing architecture, not on heavy animal protein.
It's all about the structure.
And finally, we discussed the cultural modularity. By leaving allergens not specified, the profile delegates the final ingredient sourcing to you, making it a highly adaptable global template.
You're the gatekeeper.
Exactly. It breaks down the intimidating stereotype of elaborate Korean feasts and invites you into the practical, refreshing reality of everyday home cooking.
It really is a brilliantly engineered, beautifully simple roadmap that challenges everything we think we know about authentic international cooking.
It absolutely does.
And as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over regarding how we approach the kitchen.
Let's hear it.
We started by talking about how intimidating foreign cuisines can seem when they are marketed purely through their most elaborate festive dishes. But looking at the data today, we've seen that a dish as traditional and revered as naengmyeon is actually just a quick, mild, highly adaptable template that doesn't even rely on meat. So if this dish, which initially sounds so foreign with its freezing temperatures and unique noodles, is actually just waiting to be your next effortless 25-minute weeknight dinner.
Wow.
How many other intimidating traditional dishes from around the world have you written off as impossible weekend projects simply because of how they've been marketed to you?
This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.